what it means to preach Jesus. Acts chapter 8, verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What do hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chair to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Amen? Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the faith that we have from you, that we, like the eunuch, believest with all our heart that thou art the Son of God.
Yes, Lord.
Father, thank you. And we ask you right now, Father God, give us strength and courage and wisdom. Let us take this lesson, Father God, and apply it to not only our heart, but take it out into the highways and byways and share the gospel with somebody. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What a wonderful read. What a wonderful read. I sat there and I said, that's fascinating. That's a lot. You know, and I won't get through all of that. Y'all know it already. But what a wonderful story. Here's what I find wonderful about that story that maybe somebody picked up. The obedience of Philip. Anybody notice that? Let me share why the obedience of Philip jumped out at me. And this is not my main point, but this is one of the points. Okay? The Bible says in verse 26 of this story, verse 25, it says, and they, meaning the other disciples and the other apostles, the message of God, the word of God had gone out into the Samaritans. And they was having a wonderful time preaching the gospel, the Bible says, in many villages of the Samaritans. And alive. God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving on the villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. How about that? The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, pointing him out, saying, arise. Watch this now. Watch this now. And go. Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Watch this. Which is desert. Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody trying to leave Jerusalem and go to the desert. All right? Listen. I know churches around. I know churches out there in Poland and Canfield and Boardman. They got a full pulpit. They got 5, 10, 15 pastors on staff. Okay? Y'all know where I'm going. How many of them pastors would even hear a word from the Lord to say, hey, look, I need you to go south to the east side of Youngstown. There's a church over on Jacobs Road where the pastor is in a nursing home, sick, and could use some help. I need you to leave Canfield and head to the ghetto. I need you to leave Old North, and head to the south side. And there's a church on Hillman Street that could use a pastor. The people are dying to hear the word of God explained to them. Look at Philip. They having a good time. They preaching the gospel. It's excitement in the church. Excitement. It's just an exciting time for the people of God. And God called him and said, leave Jerusalem now and head to Gaza, which is in the desert. I love his answer. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace. Now y'all know Candace had a lot of money. One thing y'all didn't hear in that whole text, Philip didn't ask for an offering. He didn't ask. Philip didn't say, look, I didn't give you some word. Now I know you got a lot of money in this truck or this chariot. Why don't you help a brother out? He didn't say that. I know. That just came from nowhere. What did we see? Okay. Great authority with no understanding. Here's a man with great authority but no understanding. Okay. Now, there's nothing like great authority with a desire for understanding. I know. Watch this. The eunuch was thirsty. I like that. I like the word. He was thirsty. Okay? He had worked his schedule to get to Jerusalem to worship. Okay? He was what we call a seeker. A seeker. Okay? He was reading the scriptures. And he wanted somebody to explain to him who was Isaiah talking about. And man, you know, there ain't nothing like good questions. Okay? I mean, all of us in this room, I know this group. we would be able to explain to him who he was talking about. Because it's a simple message. See, the gospel's message is not complicated. Okay? He wanted somebody to explain to him what he was reading. He was willing to search the truth. He was willing to not lean on his own understanding. That's hard for a person in authority to do. If anybody ever tried to witness to somebody who's in authority, that's difficult. That's difficult. Okay? The Ethiopian eunuch was hungry. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the word. You ever hear people? You ever talk to people? They blessed, so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. But they ain't got time for Bible study. They ain't got time for a prayer meeting. They ain't got time to go to church. But they so blessed. Mm-hmm. Next time they talk about how blessed they are, then just say, you know what Jesus said? Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for the word of God. Amen. That's interesting. He was spiritually thirsty and he was prepared to be filled. How about that? He was prepared by God to hear the word of God. Anybody ever other than me? Let me see. What do I love to come in a can? What do I love to come in a can? Cranberry sauce. Y'all know me, I love cranberry sauce. You ever had your turkey and dressing ready and your can opener and wasn't working? Oh, I'm going to get that cranberry sauce out of there. Okay? I'm going to get that cranberry sauce out of there, but it's going to be difficult. Here's my point. Evangelism isn't that difficult because if God hasn't prepared that person to be evangelized, sometimes you just got to leave them alone. Okay? Sometimes you just got to put on your Bible suit. And then some people say, well, you know, you might be the only Bible that this person's seen. What we do sometimes is, here's a person, and you want to witness to them. But the Spirit of God ain't told you this person, the Spirit of God did not lead you there. You want to just witness to them because it's good. You want everybody safe. I feel you. Okay? But you got to understand, sometimes God has to make the first move. Yeah. I think John 6:44 said, no man comes to the Father except the Father draw him. Okay? Now another text says this. Jesus said, if I be what? Lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. A lot of times we lift up the Lord by the way we deal with life. Sometimes we lift up the Lord by the way we deal with adversity and trials and tribulation, how we deal with the difficult times in life. That's a lot of times what folks see. They won't see how you handle difficulty. Do you handle difficulty graciously? How about that? So Philip did not have to pry open a hard heart.
Amen.
This eunuch was ready to hear what the Lord had prepared for him. You know, oftentimes, as a chaplain at the hospice, chaplain at the prison now, you know, I walk around, and I don't say a whole lot to anybody. A lot of times I just walk through the units, walk through the blocks, walk through a nursing home. Know what I'm looking for? Yeah. I'm looking to see where God is at work at. I'm not there to beat nobody down. I'm not there to try to pry someone open. I'm not there to tell somebody, you know what, you need to accept the Lord or you're going to hell. I don't do that. I'm just walking around. I'm walking around and saying, Lord, show me. Some days I just walk around and talk to somebody. I may sit there and talk to some folks about off-the-wall stuff. You always say, God ain't always going to give you that. But when he do, you got to be ready. Amen. You got to be like Philip. Philip was ready to work.
Amen.
I like that about Philip. That's just sidebar. What was this guy reading? What was the eunuch reading on the day that he had this encounter with Philip? What was he at? I think he was Isaiah 53. Let me read this great text. Let me read this great text. Great text. Isaiah 53. And then I'm going to talk about what Philip told him. Because it was more than he thought. I'm going to start with verse 4. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Watch this. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of all. We getting it. We know who he's talking about now. Okay? This eunuch didn't have that opportunity to sit under the word of God, sit under teaching. We know who he's talking about. He was oppressed. I didn't say depressed. Amen. There's a difference. He was oppressed. That means it was coming outside of him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Okay? Yet he opened not his mouth. Y'all know why, right? Because he came to die. Amen. He came to die. The angel of Gabriel told Mary, he said, his name shall be called Jesus, Savior of the world. This is the only way he was going to be Savior of the world, that he was going to have to shed his blood. He's going to have to shed his blood. We know without the remission of without the shedding of blood. Okay? He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened out his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken. I'm going to stop there. Because the eunuch asked a question. The eunuch asked a question. The eunuch asked Jesus, asked Philip, excuse me, who is he talking about? He asked him, he said, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip said, what did Philip say? I lost my spot. Philip said, or Philip did, preach Jesus to this man. Okay? Philip identified the man that he was talking about as Jesus, and the Bible said he preached Jesus unto him. What's that mean? What do you think Philip said to make this man so excited that he wanted to be baptized? Think about that. Think about that. Now I'm going to talk about baptism a little bit, but before I even do so, just in case if you don't process it, where were they at? In a desert. Do you guys know how difficult it is to find water in a desert? Okay? So preaching Jesus, therefore, proclaimed that Jesus did what? Died for our sins. Now, if you're ever there and you say, Pastor, I need a verse that talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's none better than 1 Corinthians 15. There's none better than 1 Corinthians 15 where Paul is declaring the gospel. He's declaring the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this in verse 1. He says, moreover, brethren, talking to the people of God, he says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. Okay? Now we all know what Paul preached. If you've been here a little time, you know I love talking about Paul and what he preached. Okay? Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. All right, Paul said, I ain't got time for, I'm not getting into politics. I'm not getting into sports. I'm not getting into all this social stuff going on. I have a duty to do. I was called to preach the gospel. That's Paul's theology. I'm going to preach the gospel. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, but I'm not going to get in the Million Man March. I'm not doing all that. I'm going to preach the gospel. Okay? He says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. What is the gospel? Death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. It's real simple. Okay? He says, which I preach to you, which also you receive, in which you stand. Now, he's talking to believers. You received it. How? That's truth. You received it as, can you imagine sitting under Paul's teaching? Could you imagine sitting in the audience where Paul, the Apostle Paul, is preaching the gospel? Man, that'd be something, wouldn't it? He says, that which you receive in which you stand. He said, you ain't received it if you ain't standing in it. How's the song go? Standing in the promises of Christ our King. Through eternal ages. Which you stand. And after you've done all that you can. After you've done all that you can. You stand. When Paul said which you stand. Which you stand means after you've taken all these insults and all these attacks. All the turmoils of life. Nothing is going to move you from the gospel that you receive, because you've been through some stuff, some trials, you've been through some temptations, you've overcame obstacles, and you've overcame trials and tribulation. And guess what you still do? What you still do, Claire? You stand. You stand. Why? Because Satan has sent all that stuff at you to do what? To move you. To move you. Somebody said, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Because Satan's coming. He's trying to move you. He's trying to move you. He's trying to take away your joy. If he can't move you, he wants you to be miserable. Yeah. Amen. And the folks out there, well, you know you can lose your salvation. Maybe you can. Maybe you can. Okay? But I can't. I cannot think of not one thing that could happen to me that would cause me to turn my back on the Lord. If you can, then you don't have what you think you have. That makes sense. I mean, if you can sit here, you'll say to yourself, you know, if this happened to me, I would stop going to church immediately. I would stop serving the Lord. I would turn my back on all the things of God. Listen, if you can think that, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Why? Because the word of God, Paul's declaring it here, right here. He said, which also you receive and which you stand. I like that. Which you stand. By which you are saved. Now watch. If you receive a word, don't stand on it, then your salvation is on shaky ground. I think one of the proofs, people say, how do I know I'm saved? How do you know you're saved? Let me tell you something. Here's how you know you're saved. You stand. When all hell break out in your world, when everything going crazy, and you stand. You stand. Okay? Then he says, which you stand, by which also you are saved. Okay. If you hold fast that word which I preach unto you. If you hold fast that word which I preach unto you. What's the word Paul preached unto them? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Here's the words you hold on to. Y'all already know what I'm going to say. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And that whosoever believeth in him, substitute that word believeth in him with stand. Okay? Whosoever believeth in him, or whosoever stands and continue to stand. That word believeth means this, that means every day. That means every day, come what may, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Okay? And I'm not saying you're not going to hurt. I'm not saying you're not going to go through some pain and some suffering, some heartache. You're going to bury some loved ones and some friends. You're going to bury all your parents if you live long enough. You're going to bury your brothers and sisters if you live long enough. You're going to... But I shall not be moved. And you know what you do when you do that? You ain't got to talk a whole lot. See, you ain't got to talk a whole lot. When you can go through all that, you can deal with all that, and people still see you faithful. Yes. When people can still see you faithful, they're looking, that's different. That's different. That's different. I mean, maybe I'll go over and ask Aunt Sylvia, or I'll ask Aunt Margaret, or I'll ask, how do you hold it all together when everything going crazy? And they'll say, you know what? I don't hold it all together. God holds me all together. Okay? All, what you're seeing is God working in my life. Man, that's some serious stuff. That's some serious stuff. By which you also, if you, he, let me go back and just pull it into context. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you receive, and which you stand. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. See, that answers the questions. Folks running around here, well, you know what? You can lose your salvation. Listen, you can if you believed in vain. If you believed in vain, you can lose it because you've never had it. But if you believe the word of God as truth, and God has given you the faith, and God continually to pour in your life, and you continue to seek God, you ain't gonna lose it. Watch. I had a verse. I'm all over the place. Bear with me. Verse 3. Paul says this: for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. You know what Paul's saying right there? He said, this ain't me. He said, I ain't making none of this up. So you got a lot of preachers make up their own. They make it up as they go. They make it up as they go. And they always scanning through the Bible trying to find something to preach on. Just preach the word. Amen. Okay, well, I preached that a couple weeks ago. I preached that a couple years ago. Preach it again. It ain't gonna come out the same. One preacher said he preached John 3:16 350 times. They asked him, they said, Whitefield, why you preach John 3:16 350 times? You know what his answer was? Well, folks need to hear it. Folks need to hear it. And I mean, why? For God so loved the world. Folks still need to hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People need to hear it. Okay? Some of y'all have heard it 350 times here. But don't worry about it. If you've heard it 350 times, hopefully you'll hear it 350 more times. Because it's so important that we understand who God is. Who God is. Who God is. Watch. He preached Christ to this eunuch. The eunuch said, who's he talking about? He said, he's talking about Christ, and he preached Christ. And after he got done preaching Christ, what was it? What happened? What did he want to do? The Bible said he went away rejoicing after what? After he was baptized. Okay? The baptism didn't come before him believing. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we like to baptize our kids before they know anything. Yeah, you know, and all we really do is we make them little wet devils. Okay? And we just dip them in the water and they come out. They just as crazy as they was when they went in. Ain't nothing changed because they haven't come to an understanding. Okay? The Ethiopian eunuch, after he received the truth of God's word and received it as truth, he wanted to be baptized. Okay? Why? Why did he want to be baptized? Because baptism is a symbol of true conversion. Let me say that again. Baptism is a symbol of true conversion. People, listen, you're not getting saved by being baptized if you wasn't saved before you got baptized. Okay? Let me see if I can help you. Let me see if I can help you. Acts 2:38. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. What would have happened if they got baptized before they repented? Nothing. They was told to repent. Repent from what? Repent from their unbelief. Remember, Peter was talking on the day of Pentecost to people who had killed Jesus, who thought they did. Okay? These were people who were responsible for his death. At least they thought that. I don't teach that. Okay? I teach Jesus Christ came to die. God just used people to do it. Amen. Okay? Amen. But Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Those Jews we praying for over there in Israel, mm-hmm. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. Those Jews at the Jewish Community Center over here on Gypsy Lane, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. Okay? Know what we do? We pray that they one day would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay? But like I say, it's unconditional. God didn't say, pray for Israel. He said, pray for Israel. Even if they don't believe, we still are obligated to pray. Mm-hmm. Okay? Some of y'all here could stand Trump. Oh, I can't stand Trump. Some of us in here, I can't stand Biden. I can't stand Biden. Some folks in here, I can't folks in the world, I can't stand Obama. Some, I can't stand Bush. Doesn't matter. Amen. Doesn't matter when it comes to scripture. You know what the scripture says? Pray for those that are in authority. Didn't say, well, what if I don't like them? Didn't say that. He said, pray for those in authority. I didn't vote for them. Don't matter. He didn't say if you voted for them. Amen. Okay. Fire truck and stuff was at my yard yesterday because the fire went out and the lines was down. Fire truck was out there. Listen, I might not have voted. I might not have voted to pass that. I can't say that Jake is in here. I did vote for the fireman. The fireman get a raise. Amen. But I pray for the firemen. Every time I see a fire truck, I hear a fire truck. I hear a siren. Any type of siren. Any type of siren, I pray. Amen. Did they get there safely? Okay. And then if something happened bad, I pray that the person was saved, that they knew the Lord. Maybe we need some more saved firemen and some saved police officers. I pray that God would send us some. Amen. We do. Okay. But Jesus, Peter told him, repent. Is it easy to repent?
Nope.
No, it ain't easy to repent. You ain't going to wake up one day and say, well, you know what, today I'm going to repent for all my sins. Let me tell you something. Repentance is a gift from God.
Amen.
Okay? You got to want to repent, but then you got to ask God, especially after hearing a message like this. You know what? I need to repent. Go to God and say, Lord, I heard that bald-headed preacher getting on my nerves. I know I got some stuff going on. Give me the faith he's talking about so that I can repent and turn from my wicked ways, so that I can forgive somebody, so I can let go of the past and move on. Give me strength to deal with the things that are troubling me. Sometimes I just think we pray for the wrong stuff. God ain't never going to renege on none of them prayers. Here's a prayer God will never renege on. Listen, Lord, I'm waking up this morning. Today, lead me to someone so that I can share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you looking for somebody, you ain't going to have to look long. You ain't going to have to look long. There's folks you can share. And you know what's so wonderful about it? We got these phones and stuff. We can text a prayer to somebody. How about that? How about that? Listen. Let me talk about preaching Jesus. Just a couple verses on preaching Jesus. And we're going to close. We're going to celebrate Blanche's 67th birthday. She's my age now. Here's Paul. All these will be Paul. How about that? 1 Corinthians 1:17. Paul says this. He says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." What would happen if Paul would have showed up everywhere he showed up and he said, "I'm going to be baptizing folks"? Folks would never hear the gospel. You know why? Folks would just line up to be baptized. Folks love getting baptized. They said, "Well, listen, you know, I get baptized. You mean all I got to do is get baptized and I go to heaven?" See, that's the mentality. And Paul knew that. He said, "Christ didn't send me to baptize." Not that it wasn't important, but it wasn't more important than doing what? Preaching the gospel. He said, "God didn't call me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, not with wisdom of words." You know what? I heard this week, and I turn on some preaching. I just want to hear, because I'm preaching a message on preaching the gospel. I want to hear what some preachers preach. And you know what I hear this week? I heard a preacher preach on. He said, "Women ought not be wearing certain clothes to church." He said, and the preacher said, "Well, you know, you got the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost didn't tell you that that dress was too tight. The Holy Ghost didn't tell you that you had too much cleavage out." Then another preacher said, "Well, he was preaching about men coming to church with tight pants on and getting tattoos and wearing long hair." Okay, y'all see where I'm going with this? And then another preacher, they want to preach on Hollywood, they want to preach on politics and all that. Paul said, "Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words." What do you mean wisdom of words? Not preaching what I want to preach. Amen. Not preaching the social gospel. People don't get saved with the social gospel. Amen. People need to hear the word. Amen. Romans 10:17, y'all already know it. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. People need to hear the word of God. The only way you're going to get saved, if you hear the word of God. How do I know? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the Bible said, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. You cannot. So people need to hear the word of God. And this is why Paul said, "How sweet are the feet of the preachers who preach the word of God." Not with wisdom of words, lest the gospel of Christ should be made non-effect. Non-effect. Your gospel ought to affect people. Amen. I heard a preacher say, you know, people come to your church, they ought to leave happy or mad. They ought to leave happy or mad. They ought to be happy that they heard the word of God and they got some power and they were saved, or they ought to be mad because they got called out. You won't leave the same. You can't leave the same. Amen. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:5. We're going to close. Paul says this. "For we preach not ourselves." Uh-oh. Well, they had a lot going on in the Corinthian church, didn't they? See, Paul is correcting. A lot of this stuff is called corrective theology. He said, "We preach not ourselves." Obviously, somebody or the people in that church was preaching more what they wanted to hear or what they thought the people should hear. Because they don't want to offend nobody. T. Tickle their ears. Tickle their ears. You can't tell them the truth because you know you be like Pastor Neil's church over there. Everybody going to leave. They're going to go to the church where the band is playing and everybody happy and the preacher ain't saying nothing. Preacher got a couple girlfriends in the church. I mean, once the preacher got a couple girlfriends in the church, he can't preach nothing. I heard a preacher telling me, listen, I don't care how much I got to pay for a musician. I need one. Why? Because they ain't got 45 minutes. Amen. Oh, God, help me. Paul says it again. I'm closing. 4:5. For we preach not ourselves. Amen. If you hear and you say, I don't want to hear that, don't worry. Listen, if you leave any church, make sure you find one that's preaching the gospel. Okay? Why is that so important? Why is something that? Because the Bible says you got to add to your faith. Amen. And you got to add to your faith. And he says in 6:10 of Ephesians, be strong in the Lord. Only way you're going to be strong in the Lord is by hearing the word of God. You're not going to be strong in the world. You're not going to be strong in the Lord by hearing tickle me little Elmo messages. You got to hear the message of God. Amen. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves your service for Jesus Christ. Think about that. I'm close. Paul said, we preach. Not ourselves. I talked to some preachers and they boast about having a degree in psychology. Huh? You got a degree in psychology. Well, I got a degree in philosophy. Huh? I got a degree in political science. Let me tell you something. You need a degree in Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? You need a degree in Jesus. You need a degree. You need to be able to preach the gospel to the people. I said this morning, somebody told me, they say, a bad shepherd is a friend of the wolf. Uh-huh. Y'all get that? Uh-huh. I ain't never heard nothing like that before. He said a bad shepherd is friends with the wolf. And then Deacon Jeremy read that this morning about the hireling. A hireling represents a bad shepherd. When the wolf comes, the hireling like, hey, man, don't bite me. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus Christ's sake. You know what a servant do? A servant do what he told to do.
Amen.
Okay, a servant ain't calling shots. A servant get a message from the Lord. Back in the Old Testament, the prophets would hear from the Lord. They would get a message from the Lord, and they would start their sermon off, or they would start their illustration off with, "Thus saith the Lord." Okay, that saith the Lord. That one prophet, he was in prison. Micah, he was in prison. And they knew he was a prophet, and they knew he knew what was going on because he was a prophet. Now, see, we get confused because we've got prophets today. We've got people calling themselves prophets over on the east side and the west side. We got prophets in Cleveland, and apostles in Akron. And they cheapen the office. Okay, a prophet heard from the Lord. And they usually got killed. Isaiah, one of the great prophets in the Bible, Isaiah died. You ever want to find out? Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They all died. It wasn't something that they ran to. Nobody was waking up like, I want to be a prophet, because it was truly a death sentence. Because people didn't want to hear the prophet. They didn't want to hear Micah. They came to Micah. The king came to Micah and said, we're going out here to battle. And they was mad at Micah because all he did was talk about Jesus. All he did was talk about God. And they got mad at Micah the prophet. And Micah the prophet, they said, Micah, don't feed him nothing but bread and water till we get back. I think this is 2 Kings 18. Now, he's a prophet. Now, if a prophet tell you, listen, you ain't coming back. That was Micah's answer to these kings when they getting ready to go to battle. And Micah had already told them, God ain't ordained that battle. And they said, well, shut them up. Feed them bread and water until we come back. And Micah said, y'all ain't coming back. Now, a prophet could not be wrong. Could not be wrong. And they knew that. Y'all think they came back? No, they ain't come back. They ain't come back. I think the one king almost came back, but once somebody shot an arrow up in the air, and he had all his armor on. Oh, I mean, fully armored up. He was like impenetrable. That's a word. I got to be careful now. I got a school teacher in here. So, and that arrow came down, and there was either one little spot, kink in the armor, and it caught him in the side and killed him. So I take. Paul said, we preach not ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. He didn't say Christ Jesus, the Savior. He said Christ Jesus, the Lord. See, a lot of folks just want a Savior. They just want a Savior. Yeah, I just need a Savior. I don't need a Lord. I need a Savior. See, people want Jesus as Savior, but not Lord. He got to be both. He got to be both. If he ain't both, he ain't nothing. He's got to be Lord and Savior. And he says, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Here's a man who preached and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Okay. One of the texts he wrote, he said, let a man take heed of himself, lest he fall. Paul never veered away from the gospel. He always was Jesus' servant. When Jesus called him out of darkness into his marvelous light and blinded him on Damascus Road, Saul became Paul, and he became a servant. And he says, ourselves, your servants for Jesus. A servant for Jesus. He said, we preach not ourselves. We don't preach politics. Mm-hmm. You get a politician come in your church today, and the preacher sit down, let the politician preach. We want let LeBron James come into a church and change the whole message. I was at a church. We had a baby, one of my babies. I think it might have been Karina. Church was full for the one of the first time. Church was full. You know what the preacher said to my family that I invited there? Oh, this is Fourth Sunday. This is special offering Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. We say some stuff. We say some stuff up here. Paul said we preach not ourselves. Not politics, not philosophy, not social. You know, we don't preach all that. We don't preach the social gospel. We preach Jesus Christ, him crucified. Okay? He said we preach Christ Jesus. We preach Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John. We preach the gospel. Okay? Servants. I ain't got no right to change the message because I don't like it. I ain't got no right to change it. You know what? I got to let it change me. Amen. And honestly, a lot of the stuff that I preach up here is uncomfortable for me. Get me right. Sometimes, you know, I'm preaching it myself. I'm like, man, I'm impressed. You know, well, Lord, you want me to preach that? You know, I'm struggling in that area. I don't care. God didn't ask me to preach that. He didn't ask me to preach my life. He said, preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out season. And even if it bothers you. I'm preaching, you know, it bother me. Okay. I always quote Ephesians 5:25. Say, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I preach that. I know a lot of preachers can't preach that. They don't want to mess with that. I ain't saying me and Cindy got the perfect marriage or anything, but sometimes I need to hear that myself. Amen. As a man of God, I need to hear that I need to love my wife like Christ loved the church. Okay? I know Columbus need to hear. I know Jake need to hear. I know you need to hear. Nah, just messing with you. You all right back there? What's that mean? Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Anybody ever been to a perfect church? Anybody ever been to a perfect church? No. I used to hear guys joking, I got the perfect wife. Okay, let her have 3 kids. I had the perfect wife. Well, okay, let her have 4 kids, right, Jake?
Change a whole lot.
Okay?
Amen.
You know, they say one kid take 20% of your time from your wife, 240, 360, 480. No. I'm done. You know, honestly, we have to preach Christ.
Amen.
And the reason I say that, and I'm dogmatic about it, and I know sometimes people, you know, I don't have nothing else to preach. I don't have nothing else to preach. You know, I sat there when I got called to the ministry to preach.
I was over there.
I was up at a church in Warren. Crazy church. Folks running around. You know, if you ever go to a church, they got sheets and towels on the front. You be careful because they be folks be falling out, and girls with miniskirts on falling out. That ain't healthy. And especially when you're just coming off the streets. I wasn't saved. I just coming off the streets. I wasn't saved yet. And, you know, and all that was going on. And then God called me and I got saved. This is a true story. And they had a pastor anniversary. And they asked this pastor from Youngstown to come preach. I'll never forget it. It was Pastor Frost. So they passed Pastor Frost to come preach at this church. And he preached the gospel. And I'm sitting here like, what was that? And then I found out he was like 5 miles from my house. And I sat with him for about 10 years and learned how to preach the gospel. Because that's all that man did.
Amen.
Every Sunday. Pounding the pulpit, preaching the gospel. I'm sitting here like, man, this brother, I ain't never heard nothing like this before. But it molded me.
Yeah. Amen.
It molded me. And I sit with John MacArthur for years. And, you know, John MacArthur's in California. And I would just listen to John MacArthur just preach the word. And he had a famous saying. He said, just read it and explain it. Read it and explain it. Just a little bit of the roots. And Paul would say the same thing. And I would say, I sit under Paul. And Paul said, preach the gospel. Just preach it. Don't get cute with it.
Amen.
Don't get cute with it. Don't be carrying the mic around, throw the bike up, turn around, catch it. We got too cute. This ain't cute stuff.
Amen.
Ain't nothing cute about the gospel. We done made it cute. Being a pastor is glamorous now. You know, I'm a pastor, you know. Listen, You ought to be despised and rejected.
Mm-hmm.
This world ought not like you. Mm-hmm. You ought not be popular.
That's right.
You got to pay the price to be popular. That means you gotta compromise a little bit. Because the world don't want to hear it. They say, call the preacher. We got problems in Youngstown. All this violence, these gangs, and call the preacher. They ain't calling me. I'm gonna tell you what's wrong with them. They need the Lord.
Amen.
They need the Lord.
Yes.
People need the Lord. How else can a young man? How can a young man cleanse his ways? They need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Precious Lord, in the name of Jesus. We say thank you. Thank you for this day. We don't get to relive it, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the message of Jesus Christ. We thank you for John 3:16. We thank you for John 3 and 7. We thank you for John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Not through Mary. Not through Buddha. Not through Allah. Not through Joseph Smith. But through me, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for Sister Blanche,
thank you.
We thank you for giving her enough strength.
Yes, amen.
to put on them stockings this morning and find her way to the house of God. And then she just busted up in here like David. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Thank you for Claire. We've seen her two times in the last 3 weeks. The Lord will make a way somehow. Father, we thank you for her. We thank you for still giving her a song. Still giving her a song. In the wilderness, say, still giving her a song. And she still can praise the Lord after all I've been through. Father God, let us not sleep on these great testimonies that you put in front of us. Because we got to go down that road. We got to go down that road. Life don't get easier. So we ask that you be with these two. Continue to give them strength. But never take the song from their heart. Let them always praise you and worship you. Father, we pray for the kitchen crew who at a drop of a dime said we having a party for our church mother. We love her. We love Sister Blanche here. We love to have a party for her. We want to have a party for her next year. She said she want to have 5 more parties.
Amen.
At least. So we pray that you give her strength, Father God, to just enjoy this day. Father, we say thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and we're going to be dismissed.